here at the town council meeting. And we're glad everybody showed up. Smatter was gone, so we're in pretty good shape. Tonight, our invocation will be done by Reverend Don Skinner. But before we do that, I think everybody in the room is aware of the fact that we lost one of our residents Sunday. And David Reagan will be sorely missed. And I know Paula, in particular, will miss the vegetables he brought from his garden in South Carolina. So tonight, let's remember Frances in our prayers and her family. They're all in for the funeral tomorrow. Thank you.
I drove a long way to get here tonight. I got a long way to go home, so I'm about to treat you all a half hour. Not to worry, I haven't had supper. I'm not going to use that. I'm Don Skinner, and I am the executive director of Phoenix Home Ministry. We work with homeless people and those who are at the very, very bottom end of the economic scale to help them find employment. And I want to share a devotional that we had this morning. I want you to have some sense of not your own situation, but also those folks with whom we meet every day. There were 16 gathered around the table this morning. Of these folks whom I just mentioned, some are living in homeless shelters, some in recovery programs, some with criminal records, but all of them extremely poor. This is about prosperity. I am grateful for the divine flow of good in my life. When I hear the word prosperity, my first thought may be of my bank account. In that moment, I may feel either relief or anxiety. I understand, though, that prosperity is not defined by merely dollars and cents. True prosperity is about spiritual wealth. It's about knowing that my true source is not my employer, not my partner, not my parents. God is the source of my greatest truth. When I am aware of the ever-flowing wisdom and grace of God's Spirit, I cannot help but create prosperity in all the areas of my life, in my relationships, in my health, in my wealth. As I focus on the truth, abundance flows. I am rich in all ways, and I am grateful. Let me offer a prayer. God, we are saddened at the passing of David. We hope that his family will be blessed in the days to come by the embrace of friends, loved ones, and that life will be good, and that they will enjoy the prosperity of your Spirit. We pray that what happens here tonight will prosper all of those present, as well as the community at large. As we are all one, united by your Spirit, who are wealthy when all are well, and all are cared for, and all have what they need. Be with us in the work that we have to do tonight. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Casey, Sean, are you here? Person to address council? Go ahead, and anybody else has signed up?
No.
Mr. Fosky?
Actually, Alan is going to speak. He's
not
Mr. Chairman.
Basic, will you step forward? Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, town council, and residents and visitors. My name is Alan Basic. I'm here representing the Treasure Island Chamber of Commerce. And the Chamber is very, very pleased with the relationship that we have with Curie Beach and town of Carolina Beach. Where our motto is One Island, One Community. Something that the Chamber undertook last year was a marketing campaign branded Pleasure Island, and it went into the rolling marketplace, basically along I-40 with little 15-second commercials that showed all the wonderful things that are on Pleasure Island. And it ended with the expression, with the question, what's your pleasure? And it was a branding and an image thing. This was based after a random marketing survey that found that our island, in the off-season, people were as ingratiated and endeared by our island as they were going to Disney World. And the whole idea is to we are the only non-profit on the island other than the two governments that employ full-time staff. And so we're basically like a little tourist promotion agency. And we're very, very grateful to have worked with Curie Beach in the past. The reason that I'm here tonight is to talk about and to request funding for the continuation of the Friday Fort Fisher concert series. They've been held on the second and fourth Friday of every month during the summer. That's June, July, and August. They're something that I think our citizens look forward to. They're something that we're able to promote to the hotels and to the rental companies to help increase the tourism on the island. The request in front of you is for $8,500. It's the same amount that we requested last year. And this includes bands, sound, marketing, includes the television commercials and print. Although limited, it's something that we want to work better at integrating all of our resources to pull more people to all of the events on the island. And I'm just very, very thankful to get the opportunity to be before you and to work with you in the future. When residents and businesses look to locate in an area, typically they look for a strong government, strong chamber of commerce, and a strong school. So I think that working together, a rising tide raises all boats. And I'd like to thank you in advance for whatever generosity you can provide us. Do you have any questions for me?
Well, we appreciate you being here tonight, Alan, and I think everybody, especially in this place, has enjoyed the concerts. And we will take this under consideration. We're getting ready to start on our budget process, and we will let you all know as soon as we make a final decision.
That's very good, but thank you. I cannot ask for more. And if you have any questions during that process, please feel free to call myself or Gail.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Mr. President, we're in the session. Another item on our agenda tonight is this deal about the room occupancy tax collections and the internet bookings.
Yes.
Can you give us some insight on that or the Chamber's position on that?
We're definitely against this. I don't think
could you explain what exactly, where this is coming from and what's going on?
Yes, what's happening is some of the large internet-based booking firms, they're really not travel agencies, but they offer discount room rates. Expedia comes to mind, Travelocity, and these national companies, what they're trying to do is introduce legislation in Washington, D.C. that would exempt them from having to pay room occupancy tax. Whether or not that exemption would then preclude the tax being paid on a local level, but whether or not it does, it's still like it's coming out of someone local as opposed to someone nationally. So we're very, very much against this, and I don't think that the people that are introducing it to these large companies, it's a nuisance tax. Why should Expedia have to tax all these little towns? And I don't think that they realize that is these room occupancy taxes that pay for lifeguards, that pay for beach nourishment, that pay for these various attractions, which these are also considered room occupancy tax qualified expenditures, these types of events such as concerts or fireworks or whatever. I don't think that they have a clue. And without the room occupancy taxes, we would all be hurting, and we would not have the attractive places that would promote tourism as we're all striving to do. Yes, Barry?
Is this at state level or federal?
Federal level. Federal level.
How many states is this going to affect? Any ideas?
Virtually all the entire seacoast will be affected by it. So.
Thank you.
All right.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much. And just for the record, the chamber had at their last board meeting and a motion was on the table, and we're going to have a resolution similar to the New Hanover County one that we would be sending off against this measure.
Is there something else that we can do as far as contacting Mike McIntyre?
Mike McIntyre would be a good person to contact. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joan, I see you switched it a little late there, buddy. Step up. Try to talk
more. Good evening, Commissioner, Mayor Sean Cook, representing Clay Donald Reynolds, North Lake Park Boulevard. Apologize for being late. I could blame it on the city of Wilmington Police Department, but I'm not. It was my fault. Once again, I'm here in front of you guys in reference to the Town Prairie Beach allowing me to take my John Deere Gator early mornings, set up chairs and umbrellas, and late evenings to pull off the chairs and umbrellas. I spoke with Mr. Batson initially about, I guess, a week after we met last month, and for lack of a better term, just tried to settle on it. I'm not quite sure where the town stands on it, and I really haven't heard anything back from him nor the town, so kind of interested to see what Mr. Batson has to say about it. At that point that we talked, he was pretty much against it, ordinance-wise. Just to let you know a little bit, I've been working with the town of Montauk Island, who's never had an ordinance for nor against vending, although I prefer to call myself a beach service instead of vending because I'm not selling goods. And this March, we will be going in front of council, and we had a closed meeting, and they are actually going to pass it, putting stipulations on it as far as how many people are allowed to do it, beach services, compared to vending, cards, everything else. And it's been a two-year process. It didn't happen overnight, and I've been working with 2 years on this. I'm looking forward to it. So I just kind of feel like there's a world of the way eventually, and there's benefit for me, and no doubt, but there's also benefit for the town residents and the tourists alike.
Given the discussion, we've got a recommendation from the department heads.
I don't understand how the town will benefit from it financially at all.
If I may, you can tax it, Commissioner, you can, for instance, let's say you allow 3 permits to be issued a year and you had so much criteria that I would have to fit under, or anyone who came to fill out an application that has to then come in front of the commissioners and the mayor. For each permit, permits can be anywhere from $100 to whatever you guys wanted to charge.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, I don't know whether this is susceptible to room occupancy tax or not, but we as a town, okay, are undertaking to provide a great deal of amenities to the general public. But we as a town also don't want to burden our public with maintaining and upgrading and everything else of these facilities. So putting money in the town's coffers is a pretty important thing for anybody that comes to us and wants to do business in our town.
Yes, sir.
I would think.
Absolutely.
Anybody else? You?
No.
That discussion, Chuck?
I put out an email to the department head. So I asked their opinion because they're the ones that involved with all of this.
Yes, sir.
And they unanimously said there's too many problems, safety, liability. Where do we stop? So I got a negative from all of the department heads. So in that case, I'd have to go on without going up.
Jim, we got anything to add? Sean, I have an email in front of me, and I'm all for private enterprise. What I would like to do, if it's okay with you, we'll take, if y'all want to tonight, we can just vote on this, yes or no, up or down. It would require an ordinance change to allow this. That means a public hearing. I think it's under 19, section 19, in the charter.
The main ordinance on the siding was actually in chapter 10.
Okay. Well, it wouldn't require a public hearing. But I would like to set up a meeting with you and our marketing committee to see if we can in some way provide that service to the guests if you're the beach, but not use the gator on the beach. There are just too many negatives, and all of them are good reasons that, you know, for, I think, and these guys have been here a long time. They've seen the good and bad of all this stuff. So tonight, if y'all want to discuss it any farther, or if you want to give Sean an answer tonight, well, it would be your pleasure.
Personally, I would think that unless it looks like it's going to be a yes, you just not do anything. That way, this is not a no for him. We need to keep going and get together with marketing or whatever.
Table it until then.
If you would fly it, let's set up a meeting with our marketing committee, see if we can help you provide this service. But right now, I don't think we need to discuss the gate on the beach anymore. I think that's pretty much a dead issue for the present.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. So, I just want to reiterate that we need some beach. But as far as my other issue is to see how we're going to help the city coffers.
And if anybody in here does not need to drive a gator on the beach, if one time they had to take backpedal out there and get off the beach, you don't have to bring that up for me.
No, we don't.
Thank you, Ron.
Yes, Chair of the Marketing Committee, I'm a little confused. What role do you think our committee could play in this? And maybe we need to have a discussion with you, because the Marketing Committee, that's not the position we're in. That's not what our assignment is as far as what we're doing.
Well, I had personally in mind that when we had any correspondence or any type of advertising, that if Sean would be acceptable financially, he could advertise in it and that his services are available.
I see what you're saying. More like in our publishing stuff, but he still wouldn't have access to drop off what he needs on the beach.
We should let him know that the services are available, and Sean has to raise his rates to cover the date that house to house pick up and delivery. And so
he is delivering now, and you're aware of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
well aware of that.
Yes,
Tim.
I have no idea what's going on, but
it sounds like an issue that we addressed with Mr. Hubbard here about 6 years ago with the ADA committee about the gators on the beach for ADA. So the topic has been researched, and we did have hearings, if I'm not mistaken, on the similar issue.
Well, it's close. Yes, Tim.
One of the things I'd like to see the marketing committee address is I mean, what, and Barry mentioned this earlier, is there a benefit to the town from this kind of thing? And because the, I think in the Economic Development Committee meetings, there was some discussion about having some kinds of services on the beach. For example, we have one suggestion for a Beaker's frozen fruit and suntan lotion dispensary on the beach. And I think what we'd like to hear from the marketing committee is, would there be a value to the residents in the town of Kiri Beach and to our visitors to having services like Beaker's suntan lotion and
frozen fruit? You clearly know the answer because we're ROT. And what we do is we collect the taxes and divvy out the taxes and then sit down and figure out what we're going to do the advertising. The only avenue that I could see that the important business that Sean is doing would be is to have the county tax and we get a portion of those taxes. But that would be directly through our TVA, that would be on the New Hanover County.
Let me ask the question a different way. I mean, we have from the staff this memo that lists all of the things that are saying, no, we shouldn't encourage this type of activity because of these problems, liability, soliciting, competition, access, safety. And I guess what we're asking the marketing committee is what do you see the value of it is? You know, how do we weigh these?
But again, I'm saying that is not the role of the marketing committee.
Okay.
And not that that's not the role that maybe we can move into, but when you sit down and look at what is our criteria, what is our mission statement, it has nothing to do with anything on this level.
Okay.
We are all on the financial aspect. Where to best put our money to get more people here so we can pay for the police department, aspects of the police department. We can't pay for the fire. We can't pay for the rescue squads.
So if we said beyond, do you think that having these services might generate enough additional room occupancy tax revenue that it would be worthwhile? That wouldn't be part of your committee's...
Not necessarily, because who's going to predict what the tax is?
I got you. Okay.
The tax has to be a set thing, and then X amount goes here, just like we have our 3% right now. And if now if we had a different committee, that would be more at the Kiri Beach level, marketing committee, of how do we promote this specific aspect during this specific time, that would be extremely appropriate for us to envelop Sean and Sean's businesses and get them moving and promoted.
Do you think
it's just the chamber? Absolutely. I mean, the advertising via the chamber is critical. Advertising is the advertising that Sean currently does. He can probably step it up. Maybe, you know, you'll know your best. Return on your investment, going to each hotel and advertising and putting the information. Like right now, we primarily only work with Sean.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
This room occupancy tax issue, you pay that up on Carolina Beach, all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that when you rent...
No,
I'm sorry. Misunderstood. He's just not...
No.
Some of the monoclonal.
He's not...
Oh,
yeah.
That's hotel right there.
Oh, that's not
no.
There. Okay.
No, we can do a train on room occupancy for the council if you'd like us to. That would be a separate issue.
That's not the money.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks,
Sean. Thank you, guys. Mr. Mayor, you should be my contact person. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Anybody else would like to address the council? Yes, ma'am.
Well, this is for everyone. I'm Jean Martin, and I'm from the community center.
Would you like to step up and
meet Ms. Martin? Well, no, but I will.
Thank you. It's an important
announcement. As you know, we're having, this is for everyone, the Kiri Beach Community Center Spirit Awards Dinner, March the 27th, a Saturday night. I'd like to invite all of you to come. It's always a lot of fun. And the tickets will be available. Are they ready?
No.
They'll be available in a day or two. Right, or thinking. Okay. All of you can sit
consider who can be nominated, who can be nominated for the annual award and the lifetime award. Forgot my word. And the nomination papers are in the office of our rear delegates, right by the window there. And or any of us have the blank nomination thing. So keep it in mind, Bon Appetit is catering it, and it's always a lot of fun. So everybody come. 27th, Saturday night.
March
27th. Not really, not very far away. And if you nominate someone, please consider so many good people here that have done so much. The nomination has to be in by March the 5th. 5th or 6th, I think it's
5th.
Okay?
Don't leave yet.
Oh, you have some questions?
No, no questions. If you would, could you also point out to them that when they come, they'll be able to see the new community center?
Oh my gosh, if you haven't seen it. Thank you, Sonny. That is so nice.
I didn't do much. My guys.
Oh my gosh, they work so hard. It really is. It's really beautiful down there. It's just really beautiful. And it's all spruced up so pretty. I might just see it all. Come July
7th. And the tickets are only $16, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, and that's a great meal from Bon Appetit.
Yes, it is. It's very nice.
We're only going to sell 100 tickets.
Amazon's for sale.
Actually, each of the council members are committed for
two.
If no one else is going to address council, it's time for the approval of the consent agenda. And item number 5, the ROT resolution from New Hanover County. I would like to pull that and read that aloud. Does anybody have a problem? Item number 5, this is what we would like to adopt, New Hanover County Board of Commissioners resolution to protect the room occupancy tax. Whereas the room occupancy tax beach funds beach reimbursement tourism and the convention center in New Hanover County, and whereas sales tax in New Hanover County funds county operations, including education, public safety, and human service programs, whereas state and local governments are expecting the worst fiscal crisis since depression, and whereas FY08-09, $7.4 million was collected in room occupancy tax in New Hanover County. And whereas reduction in revenue due to reducing or eliminating online travel companies' tax on rooms would impact the ability of local governments to fund services. Whereas reducing or eliminating online travel company taxes would provide them with an unfair competitive advantage by providing them preferential tax treatment. Now, therefore, let it be resolved, and then we will change this boilerplate to the town council of the town of Cherry Beach. Strongly opposes any action which will impact local government's ability to levy taxes on rooms that are marketed through online travel companies. I would like to change this to reflect Cherry Beach and adopt this as our stance on this room occupancy tax legislation that Alan referred to that's going through the Senate. I mean, now, but just the Senate now. And
yes, that's what it's introduced.
Make a motion that we endorse the resolution as read by the mayor, and that we authorize the mayor to send a letter to the chairman of the county commissioners acknowledging our endorsement and telling them that we'll help the county in any way to prevent this legislation from passing.
Sorry.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So moved. Casey, if you will get that started, I would appreciate it. Now, approval for the consent agenda.
Just one other thing, too. Would it be appropriate for us to send a letter to Mr. McIntyre,
McIntyre is our House representative. It would be appropriate, but I think we also need to get letters out first to Senator Burr and Hayes.
Okay.
Because this is right now it's in their court. But yeah, I think that would be the priority then to McIntyre's office.
Well, I was going to follow suit with Carolina Beach and send it to all the local legislation. That's what they did. And they also sent it to county commissioners as well.
Thanks. Approval of the consent agenda?
I will move to recommend to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second. All in
favor? Aye.
Any opposed? I'm going to adopt the consent agenda. Items for our department heads. Mr. Beaker?
Yes, I have just a quick couple. First of all, the sewer rehab project, we have about another week of grouting some of the joints. The grouting has been going on for a couple of weeks. They'll be in next week, supposedly, to start aligning the lines there on 421. So you'll see a big truck out there with some lines going into the lines, hopefully. We're running a little bit behind schedule. We're hoping to pick it up a little bit. We're still going to be running behind schedule. The completion date is February 27th. I'm going to have to make it. So we're pushing them, and hopefully we can get it done as soon as possible. We have one lateral that we're going to probably have to be done at night to close up the road. That's Gilbert's lateral that we've been having problems with for years. I know he's glad to hear that. Working now with the state, trying to go ahead and get all the work around so we can get that done. So that's one of the things. Any questions about that? Alvin Mudd's request, I see that it's probably down on the agenda, but my part, I was supposed to talk to them and see what kind of, they were requesting some assistance this year for setting up some of their decorations and stuff. I talked to Francis Massey today and asked her basically what they were looking for. What I would like to ask council is for us to allow us a four-man crew a couple of days to help them set up and take down some of the fixtures that they normally put up. Carolina Beach has not been back to them yet, but yeah, I'm sure they will. And when they do, that might cut ours down to a day or something. So.
Should we make a motion?
Well, I don't know if you need to make a motion. Just tell me to do it, and that's what I'll do.
I would like to, Sonny and I talked about this, and I would like to obligate the town for the 2 days that he suggested. And I think we don't need to leave this an open-ended commitment. Our Carolina Beach will get back with it. And going back to Mr. Pasek and Gail, who was moving around back there in the background, I think this is a worthwhile project for the whole island, and it's my recommendation to drive them with 4 years.
Well, we had a breakdown of time of what it was normally taking on them, and the amount of work hours they were putting per day, and I figured 2 days with us, we should be able to pretty much take care of it, but if Carolina Beach would come in and help, it would be less time than that. So that's where I came up with the 2 days.
I mean, this actually would be part of the 2010-2011 budget, because it won't happen until November, right?
That's right.
So what my suggestion would be is that, we generally, from what I'm hearing, that there's a consensus that we'd like to help, and that we include it as part of the departmental budget for 2010-2011.
That's what I'll do.
Thank you.
The other thing is a Sunny Point request that we had in for some additional land out there for our, I guess it's disc golf. And right now, it is in the explosion and safety section. So I'm hoping that's towards the end of the process. I feel like it is. So that's pretty much what happened with Rich Lockwood. It's getting closer, so I'm hoping to hear something from them. As soon as I hear it, I'll let council know.
Could you mention what Rich said about when we get consent to proceed and
right, and once we get through with that, we may be able to get a consent to proceed, which will be something we can start to work on and all, and let the rest of the paperwork go to Atlanta, wherever it goes to now, ultimately to Washington, I'm sure it'll be signed off, but we could actually start some of the work before it got to us. And I think that's the section that he said. He said something. Had something with blowing stuff up or something.
So it's not the section of the buffer zone that's the explosion section. It's their committee section.
That's right.
So we're using my house is in that same line.
We don't know all that for sure, but I think it's they were talking about it. They were talking about their committee.
I thought maybe they might have had your house targeted.
Yeah, we can use some of those frisbees that explode from the DNA.
Just a very quick question. Once we get the approval, start to finish getting the disc golf up and going, would it take how long?
The way we require discussions, we give the disc golf folks, Max gave me a month and a half.
Yeah. To physically get the land.
Yeah, you play around the trees and stuff. So, other than getting our signs, the Parks and Rec signs that have it, the layouts of the course would be, you know, that would be probably most time investment we've got setting up the course.
And I agree, the architect, the way he laid it out, he tried to lay it out around all the big trees and stuff, right. So we don't have to take those out. So we're looking at more of brush removal and stuff than we are anything else.
The reason I'm asking is, since season is about to come in, this would be a great opportunity to get some free advertisement from the chamber as far as events happening and start getting that moving, but just for Jack, I think we might be a little too soon to get that advertising going.
Well, as soon as we get the right to proceed, and the design work that the town has approved so far, we'll also get access to an international website promoting this disc golf course. So we hope we're going to parlay this into pre- and post-season tournaments to keep heads on heads in the town of Gary Beach.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Beaker. Tommy, do you have a question, Mike?
No, I have a big thank you for a couple of our officers.
Okay.
From me. Last Thursday, one of our youth came home from Iraq, and I think the police department giving up their time Thursday afternoon kids to hand with that. And we were glad to see him home, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Tommy. Did you ever eat that big sandwich you had the other night?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And why were you late tonight, by the way?
Me?
You're supposed to be here early.
Uh-oh.
All right?
Sorry, Tommy. That was just because. Thanks, guys, for all the time.
You're welcome. Hey, Sammy. Under old business, item number one, well, do we need to adopt the agenda? Any changes in the agenda?
Yes, I've got one there, and that's to add an update on the Westport Department. I've already talked to Tim, and if we could just put that in as far as his item on prioritizing.
So you want to take 13 and combine that with?
Just ask.
What do you ask?
No, just my portion on the other
just add
the two of them at the same time.
Okay.
So,
any other changes or corrections?
You add number 7 under new business and amendments to the community center policies. Thank all the work that some of these guys have finished.
So, Mr. Attorney, you had a couple items. Did anybody else have any items up here?
at section 17121C, properties in foreclosure.
His name would be item number 8.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the other one was suggestion I had made for appointment of a deputy clerk.
Yeah, I
remember that. Can we combine that with, I think item number 4 on the new business, and then item number 6 under old business? I think they're all about the same thing, I guess. I would think so if you wanted to, well, the council, if you wanted to take anything that was an administrative question and hold it until meeting.
Item number 6 that I had suggested was a continuation from last month where we were trying to sort out how things are handled after the administrative. So you want to make 6A?
Deputy clerk.
Yep. All right. What I mean, item 6 under old business, yes. Item 4 under new business, and the attorney's position, not the deputy clerk, are all part and parcel of the same thing.
Everything that Tim has said is an administrative issue that we've had that we need to resolve one way or another. Now, if you want to do it in council meeting, fine. If you want to do it in a work session, fine also. I would think probably you'd go through there if it was done in a work session.
So, if we schedule a work session, I think we talk about the deputy clerk's suggestion from the attorney and all the other stuff too.
Yeah, and then you take out. Get a list from everybody with any administrative items that they want to discuss.
Gentlemen, does that work for you?
When will we plan this work session?
What happens to you guys when we get to it?
So we'll be postponing or actually tabling the deputy clerk issue until we have this administrative work
session. Is that okay?
Yes.
That we're going to keep the foreclosure.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
So are we going to table 5 and 6 as well, or is that just going to be a...
No, I would think 6 would go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was going to mention it. Okay.
All in favor of adopting the agenda?
I'm going to adopt the agenda.
Second? All in favor, signature by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, the agenda is adopted. Under old business, item number 1. And this has Lambeth Dugan. I would like to make a motion after much discussion and much appreciation to Chuck and Jennifer for going back and actually researching our grants to make sure we were in compliance with anything that the state requires. I would like to make a motion to issue a purchase order in the amount of $6,880 for RTM landscaping. This would consummate a contract with RTM landscaping for the Atlantic Avenue boardwalk area. Any discussions?
What is that amount again? I'm sorry.
$6,880.
Okay.
So this is going to take care of your item.
All in favor, signal by saying aye. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Madam Clerk, will you ask the finance officer to purchase order ready, and I will sign the Mr. Finance Officer.
I think they met with Chuck number 1.
Yeah.
Thank you. Your budget amendment to give them the budget.
We
just approved the contract, but the budget, your number one under new business is actually give the amendment, give him the money to get you to finish it.
That's for six, we're going to meet at 19, we're going to need 20,000, so I'm going to knock them over that way.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Yo. Just a quick comment, comes in on this blind side again. When you talk about landscaping Atlantic Avenue,
yes.
Are you talking about putting plants or putting rocks on the ground? My number one concern is water drainage from rainwater. Biggest concern, but if I can make a request, just put rocks along between the asphalt and the walkways you have there, and let that be a place for groundwater to get into back into the ground.
A slot drain has been discussed in the landscaping plan. They were going to leave the section open for any stormwater runoff before about to the plant area, but they were using mulch between the road and the boardwalk.
It will be so.
So the last comment, the term section drain is very economical and maintenance, low maintenance possibility.
Well, I have to argue that point with you, and I love you. But a French drain, unless it's made out of composite material that will take the pressure on the way of automobile, it will be short lived along there.
Okay.
Yes,
speaking exactly of this issue, especially with the automobile, I don't know if anybody's ridden down Atlantic Avenue since the recent snowstorm, and we have a pretty good rut starting there right along Atlantic Avenue, and I suspect that as soon as we put some landscaping in there that we may have a problem with some shall we say hooligans on the dust.
Are you suggesting we don't landscape it?
No, not at all. I'm suggesting that we do something to keep a barrier from them destroying it.
Well, we're going to have to defend our police department for that. And I think the rut that you see now is, solely because of the snow, because they actually didn't know where the road was for a short period. There was plenty of room to drive down through there because I went down there and they were driving in the dirt. I had no idea why they were over that far, but we may have to make some arrangements to make sure they do stay on track.
Maybe we can borrow some of
John
Dennis's, Dennis's stoppers. They throw out these staples along the road there.
Well, that'll keep them in carry beats, but I'm out of time. Any other discussion? Moving on. Item number two, Commissioner Fuller, General Policy Procedure Committee.
This is a continuation from last month, and we circulated various drafts. We got responses from several of the committees and individuals, and we have, I think, in front of y'all, the latest draft as of about 5:30 this morning. And it is, I don't think there are any significant changes, except for we've added a limitation on the number of committees that a person may serve, and the suggestions from Commissioner Nelder and I think from Commissioner from Mayor Pro Tem Keener were that three committees be that limit, and that the person may not be more than chairperson of, may not be the chair of more than one committee. The other significant change from the draft that was circulated last month is that we've gone back and actually changed the way that committee vacancies are filled. There are now two different procedures. One is for the ad hoc committees, and those would proceed pretty much the same way they do now, except that there's a stipulation that all of the committee interviews would be open session. The second procedure would be for committees that are required by the North Carolina General Statute, which so far, as near as I can tell from all the comments that I've gotten, are the Cary Beach Board of Adjustment, Cary Beach Planning and Zoning Commission, and the Cary Beach Stormwater and Environment Committee. So that, in the case of those three committees, The applications received by the clerk will be forwarded to the town council. The town council members will interview the applicants in a regularly in their properly scheduled meeting, and the town council will, by vote of council, approve the applicants for those committees. This is very similar to the procedure that we used earlier this month in establishing the Citizens Budget and Finance Committee. So that's where we are in terms of this draft, and I would like to make a motion that we adopt this version of the committee, General Policy and Procedures for Committees.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Any discussion?
Yeah, just a short one. I'm under the impression that Andy, is the language correct on 1B on replacing the quasi-judicial?
On 1D?
Is it 1B? Dark. No. 1D. That's 3.
First page. Have you got a copy of this? First page.
Oh.
It would be town council made a discretion to replace any committee who violates town policies or conducts themselves in any way detrimental to town. Okay.
I think that'll pass much.
Yeah, that language didn't change from last time.
It'll pass much.
That's the whole time, right? And the only other thing that I would bring up, not so much as a change, but just as an observation, having been here a while, the picking of one out of two people. There have been a lot of times when we haven't had two applications when we've only had one. And the way I'm reading this is that one would be held in advance until it was two.
I don't know that that would necessarily have to happen that way.
Well, there's no other meaning.
Well, yes, there is. There is a. There, on 1F, is it? The Fury Beach Town Council may waive at the discretion of the council any procedures, policies or procedures set therefore in. So that to me would mean that we could substitute that.
So if we get two, we pick one. If we get one, we pick one.
Yeah. Well, we have that option, sir.
Then why have the rule for two? Why not just go with one?
I think the idea with having two is so that that we were trying to broaden like we talked about in the retreat, instead of just having the committee send one person forward and the council just, you know, saying either yes or no to that, that the committee would send two and the council would say, okay, and, you know, apply whatever criteria you prefer to listen over that one. I mean, we can change the language one by one. Just say in the event that there's only one applicant, then the council decides whether or not to appoint that person.
I think the point here is that we have to remember that it is up to the council to decide as to the, not the committee, but up to the council to decide who is going to be on that committee.
Any further discussion?
Yep. I want to make clear and we all decide what a full time resident is.
Any discussion?
Well, I think we found out through some legal descriptions or legal discussion is that a full-time resident, as defined by our ordinances, et cetera, apostrophe, means that you rest your bed and sleep the night in
Actually, if you go to the general statutes 163-282, residency defines the voting in municipal elections. The rules for determining residency within a municipality shall be the same as prescribed in GS 163-57 for determining county residency. If you go to 163-57, it's actually a fairly long description, but it basically says this is the guidelines for election officials in determining the residence of a person offering to register for a vote. That place which shall be considered the residence of a person in which that person's habitation is fixed and to which, whenever that person is absent, that person has the intention of returning. So, but it goes on further, if for instance you went to Washington, D.C. to serve in the Congress, you know, you wouldn't be giving up your residency security. If you went to Iraq to fight, Al-Qaeda, you wouldn't be giving up your residency.
Or if you go to college.
I mean, my personal feeling is that if a person is registered to vote in Kiri Beach and they voted in the last couple of elections, they're a resident of Kiri Beach. And that's what we should use as our standard.
Well, what is the standard for voting registration? Now, that's...
That was
the question that Chuck had. Was exactly that? What is required for voters' registration in New Hanover County?
No, that wasn't my question. The question's been whether it's property owners or whether it's people live outside of the place. The answer is the Board of Election.
Okay.
The Board of Election, you sign a paper that says you sleep in Kiri Beach.
Okay.
And if you don't, then it's a felony.
Okay.
So I'm feel fine to rely on the Board of Elections.
So the Board of Elections says if you sleep in Kiri Beach, is that a majority of the time?
No. Barry, I don't think we need to... If the Board of Elections has registered somebody to vote in Kiri Beach, they're on the voter registration list, that's a person who's a resident of Kiri Beach. We don't have to worry about... the Board of Election does their due diligence. We just say, okay, if you're registered to vote and you vote here.
Now, in what relationship are we talking about, okay? When we come to the are we talking about a resident? Are we talking about a full-time resident? Okay, now, if you have a differentiation here, when you go to, when we're talking about the... How do you commit required by the NC state statutes?
No, what we're saying is...
Because
the residents... No, that has nothing to do... What that is saying is that there are certain committees that we have to pass by law. Board of Adjustments, TNC, and so on. And all we're saying here is, I changed the language where it says, put no regularity. Where's the first page?
Right here.
Okay. We're not making any distinction as far as membership. Except as noted below, which is anybody who owes the town money. Any full-time resident of Kiri Beach is eligible to serve on the appointed committee for the
town. Okay, and then define for me a full-time resident.
A full-time resident is a person whose name appears on the Board of Elections voter registration list for Kiri Beach.
Okay. If the Board of Election allows it, I have no problem. But I just want to make sure that if that question comes up,
the Board of Election.
Okay, so that the Board of Election will be the one to follow through with that as far as in making sure that requirement is covered. Okay, but that question has and will come up, I'm sure. Okay. But we're going to defer that to the Board of Election, correct?
They have a mechanism for determining all this. It's set up by the statutes. I'm satisfied.
I'm satisfied with their determination. I'm not satisfied with whether they're going to determine it or not. Okay? That's my problem, Kim.
I understand. I don't know. Have you put this in the form of a motion?
I make a motion to adopt this policy.
Do we have a second? I don't know. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays?
Nay.
All right, it passes 4-1. Thank you. Oh, yes, Tony. With this, this is for all the committees?
Yes, sir.
Now, with that, I was talking with some of the commissioners. The tenure of the chairperson, the secretary, and what would be the tenure of a regular person on the committee? Would it be 2 years? But you want us to, when we have our committees, you want us to bring all the people in and redo all the dates and bring it up to time, and then have a date where the position would be expired. And then either they would get voted back in or whatever, but you want that in writing. But we're not sure of what time for a regular person on a committee.
It's not any different. There's no, every committee, when it's established, the council sets the term of the appointment, right? And it's no different for the chairperson or the vice chairperson. You know, if you're appointed, if you're elected to serve as the chairperson, it's for 1 year as the chairperson, and then you can be re-elected. But that has nothing to do with your tenure on the committee itself.
Some of the committees, through statutes, have staggered terms. But the ad hoc committees, I don't think that applies to you.
No, only for like the beach protection, SLAP, unification. Well, it's something that the council would set when the committee is established. Now, if y'all are on, what we've asked is that all the committees, because the clerk told us that she did not have a good record of when anybody was appointed to a committee, how long they had served. So we asked all the committees to tell us, when were you appointed and how long have you been serving, and then we were going to try and figure out
something else.
Well, I thought we did.
And the reason we've asked y'all to do this, is so that the clerk, in a professional and timely manner, before you have one of your meetings, let you know that some one of your members is up for reappointment. You know, there's been some sloppy, not anything new occasion.
Oh, I understand.
So that's but I'm sure the school is getting cleaned up.
Casey is going to give us the date per person, right? For
the classroom.
Okay, that's great. No problem.
We're just trying to get it in an orderly manner so that if Candace comes up for reappointment, if she wants to serve on beautification, we'll know when she's appointed. Alex McKinn, Paula, Gabby, the same way. The Park and Recreation Committee has set rules that they must have to be eligible for in-state funding.
I would also turn out to all the committees to make sure that they keep the clerk up to date on meeting times and dates and everything, because she's the one that has to advertise. So if it doesn't get advertised, then we run into another problem.
And some of it slips through the cracks because it wasn't clear. Yeah. So we need the committee's help with this in ASAP.
Just one quick question.
Yes, Ms. Ann.
Just a very quick question. When you're saying on three committees, if there's a special committee that's going to be short-lived, maybe a 6 to 1 year committee, would that exclude the three or include the three?
Depends on who it is.
Oh, all right. I got it. So I'll put more area on that.
If it has a due date, a drop dead due date, and it will be resolved, that would be a different.
You know, if it's a short lived committee, then they just need some kick butt.
Okay.
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. Moving on. I'm sorry, I missed something. What happened?
We voted it passed. We had discussion.
Thank you.
It's been adopted.
Okay.
But we'll bring it up again.
Item number three, recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission to accept the appointment of Jim Lauder as a regular member. Any discussion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we reject that and send P&Z, have them please go back and have an open, under the new policy of the council, conduct interviews again.
What they said you don't do interviews.
Plus, you guys do the
That's what she said. Yeah. Under the new policy that we just adopted, we'll take care of this one. And the same thing for number four, Mr. Garrison. So, three and four will be covered by the new policy of the council, because those are the two of the three committees. The council will conduct those interviews.
Also,
you want to make a motion to cover three, four, and five?
Did you amend your motion, Gary, to include
three, four, and five? Yes, sir.
Do you have a question on the floor?
The question I have for you guys is where the Board of Adjustment is going to be minus one member in a week. And Tony was actually presenting you as an alternate. I would like to present you for a regular member, since we're going to be one regular member short.
Okay. Harry, do you all have any cases pending, or do you, so this is not something that we need to do within a week, is it?
No, sir.
Okay. And we also need to schedule a meeting to
all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
So we're deleting 3, 4, and 5, and we're going to set a date to take care of this business. Item number 6, discussion.
Should we go ahead and get
I was going to kind of segue that into we want to have a regular meeting, you know, down here on the new business number 4, would that be? Or do you want to schedule it?
It's a separate thing. We're going to be conducting
the meeting. All right. Well, we have recommendations for a date to interview and make our recommendations on these committees.
I'm not sure that I understand why that was in old business. On the Stormwater Environmental Committee for the extension of those appointments. I would think that should have been in new business.
Because it was on there last month, but you hadn't done the interviews. So it was on the agenda for last month, but it didn't get done. I have a calendar on my computer. Are you guys looking in the near future? Okay. Well, next week you have...
Something 2 weeks.
2 weeks. March the 3rd is a Wednesday. There's absolutely nothing going on.
Now, third, when are you leaving for your...
25th through the 2nd.
You'll be back?
Yeah, I'll be back on the 2nd.
I'd like to make a motion that we schedule a meeting to interview candidates for these three committees on Wednesday, March 3rd at 6:30 p.m. And that we ask the clerk to advertise for applications, and that we ask the clerk to notify all the folks who have already applied about the interviews.
2nd.
What's the date?
March 3rd, Wednesday.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Let's start.
Give me time to get one of you.
Item number 6, discussion and consideration of council mayor and former government, Commissioner
Clark. Well, actually, this is something that we talked about briefly last month. You put that on last month to talk about how we, you know, what our former government is now that we've done away with politics. And I think that's why you want to hold a work session to talk about
that. Yeah, and all the changes that we've been involved with, that's where we come up with.
And then the attorney suggested it. So do you have an idea for when you want to do the work session?
ASAP. I'm going to do it after. The quicker we do it, the smoother things start running.
do it March 3rd there to do this interview.
Well, we had 9 the other night, didn't we?
Could we do it earlier in the day too? I mean, if you guys are available.
I would think that the think of it as too long than to come up short.
Tuesdays are kind of
the second.
PMZ meeting is the second. Next Tuesday is available. The
23rd. If the majority of the people find Saturday to be the best day,
we have to get 10 o'clock.
We have training.
The clerk is suggesting next Tuesday.
Well, next Tuesday is wide open.
No, we have more adjustments.
Well, right. I was thinking, gosh.
Yeah, and this is, that's important.
That is important. Yeah. Well, the 24th is available.
Next Wednesday?
Mm-hmm. 24th? I'm sorry, you're canceled.
Is that the 24th?
That's a good time for you.
6:30 again.
Why don't y'all do 5, sir?
It's not that much for us. Yes, it is. I make a motion that we schedule a work session for the purpose of discussing mayor council form of government, the position of deputy clerk, and other things relating to the administration of town hall for Wednesday, February 24th at 6:30 p.m. at the town hall.
Can I amend that just a question? I think we have Stacy and Jennifer both to give us some guidance as to what they think their new duties might encompass, since we no longer have an administrator. Casey, could we get those? Are yours prepared yet?
Well, mine's still a work in progress, but yes, sir.
Well, I would like to have those ASAP.
Okay.
So we can mull this over before we have it.
So we want to ask Casey and Jennifer. I know Casey will be there, but we want to ask Jennifer to attend as well.
Yes.
Well, that was my next question. Who else? I mean, is it just Jennifer and I?
It's mainly for administration. So the two of them.
I think we would like their recommendations that we asked for almost a month ago. I think I want those. I'd like to have those by Friday.
Did anybody second the motion?
I just amended it.
Second.
Okay. Casey's not held hostage yet, for sure you do. Thanks, Casey. All in favor, see what I'm saying? Aye. All opposed? Okay, Casey, you have your marching orders. Item number 7, town clerk, managing public records workshop. You have done some kind of deal with the Marriott, I think?
Yes, sir. We have set up a time, if I can get my calendar to pull up here. We have set up a time in, I believe it's May. I don't have my packet in front of me.
It's May 10th from
1 to 4. Yes, sir. And I've been working with Rebecca Payton at the North Carolina Department of Cultural Resources. And she'll be coming to the Courtyard Marriott on that date. And doing a managing public records workshop. We'll be the hosting municipality, but she's going to put it out over the listserv and invite municipalities really all from all over the state, but you'll probably just get...
So you got a head count yet?
No, sir. As soon as we get all the final details worked out, which will probably be sometime this week, she's going to put that out, and she will actually do the registration. But we have seating capacity right now for 100. But if we start getting a bunch of responses, we actually do have the availability to go up to 200.
We've got to feed all these people in the
building, then. No, sir. I told her that we have a budget of $300 for refreshments, and so she'll be able to work within that budget.
Coming out of your budget.
Y'all approved it to go to our budget, so yes.
Paper.
So who's going to be invited?
Actually, it'll be actually all municipalities and counties.
Town clerks?
Yes, sir. But it's open to not just town clerks. It's open to, I mean, attorneys sometimes might be useful.
Yeah, administrative
officers. So I'm actually going to invite the girls here to come because, I mean, it really does go into a lot of detail. So it'll be very useful, and I encourage you guys to come as well. But yeah, it's actually turned out very well, and you know the courtyard was very, very generous to provide us that room at no cost.
Yeah, they do a nice job helping for a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, do I have a motion to provide up to $300 in refreshments?
We have that next month.
There we go. Item number 8, discussion and consideration of town calendar. Mr. Fuller.
Last month we had a draft calendar of our procedures and policy calls for the council to adopt the annual holiday calendar every year. And we had it last month, but there was some discussion. Christmas falls on a Saturday this year. The way our current policy reads, if a holiday falls on a Saturday, will be observed the following Monday. But there are some issues with that as far as garbage collection and things like that. So we ask for recommendations from the staff. And I think what I understand is that the 2 days that will be town holidays for Christmas will be December 23rd, which is a Thursday, and December 24th, which is a Friday. And then town hall will be open for business on the following Monday after Christmas, which will be the 27th.
Dennis, you have anything to add to that?
This is nothing that affects me.
But Sunday, it really affects him more than anybody else.
Sunday in the town hall.
I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the calendar with those 2 days, December 23rd and 24th, to be the days we observe for Christmas. And with the notation that we talked about last month, that we indicate on the official calendar that this is academic now, but here's in the future, we have listed January 18th, or we have listed Martin Luther King Day and President's Day, but we've always taken one or the other, and then we've made that a part of the official calendar, that it is an either or, not both, because it is confusing in the policy.
Have a second?
Yes, sir.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number 10. Item number 9, discussion and consideration following public hearing for ordinance amendment 19-321.5, prerequisite for construction, demolition, remodeling, and impervious surfaces. John?
Yes. This was a suggested amendment to Town Ordinance 19-321.5. This was brought up by our Planning and Zoning Commission member, Alan Butta, went through the commission. And basically what it is what our commission would like to add to sentences to our current ordinance. First one is that impervious surface coverage in the side setback area of residential lots shall be limited to 15% of the setback. And the second sentence is that driveways located in the setback area of residential lots shall be limited to 36 feet width. And part of the purpose behind this is that our town land use plan specifically states, at least from page 115, that up. Kind of three deeds will pursue, we'll pursue these impervious ground coverings in the near future. I believe this kind of wording that's used. And it's my understanding that plenty of things commission feels that this will be a good step in that direction.
John, in our discussion, in our public hearing earlier tonight, I'm going to go back and with 50% on an average lot, then this would permit an 18-inch sidewalk max. And so 15% of the average is 5%. But what I'm asking you about, and Alan, maybe you can help me with this, is this says this is a prerequisite to construction, demolition, remodeling. So will a plan with this on it be required, since this is a prerequisite?
Yes.
Okay. And
this will be a site plan that will be a prerequisite for a permit addition. Yes.
And the folks here earlier today, when we had our public meeting, John thinks this is a tool that will help him, particularly in what we're trying to do with our land use plan. So have a motion to adopt 19-321-9.5.
Make that motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? No.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, John. Now, I remember. Discussion and consideration of Citizens Finance and Budget Advisory Committee appointments, meeting day, time, and location. Mr. Bullock.
Mayor, at our January meeting, we approved the establishment of the Citizens Budget Advisory Committee and had some guidelines for it. And then we scheduled a meeting of the County Council to interview candidates, people who would apply to that. We conducted those interviews. What I'd like to do tonight is get the council to approve the appointments of five of those folks. And I had a list that I would recommend, but I think it's open to discussion for the council. And I'd also like to set a meeting on the second Monday of each month at 6:30 in the Crown Hall, and then ask the committee, that's their first order of business, draft a mission statement and suggested activities for the council to approve at their March meeting. And I've already had some suggestions from some of those folks that we talked to about some things that they can work on. So,
do I have a second?
Well, I haven't made a motion yet because I wanted to see if
that was tonight.
Well,
okay.
Is there anybody who has any other suggestions about who should be appointed other than the ones that I listed? And the folks that are listed here, it's not because they weren't qualified, but because they were either serving on other committees already or had indicated to me that they would prefer if you know that they would not be upset if we didn't appoint them, because they recognize that all the folks that we interviewed were qualified. For any of you who weren't here, we had 9 applicants, and 7 of them came, and it was a pretty impressive process. They were all very qualified and had a lot to offer the town, and were very interested in the position. So the folks that I recommended, and again, this is not a reflection of anybody not on this list, but I talked with Aaron, with Eric Van and Candace and Mark Fair, and they had indicated that they were working on other things, and it would hurt their feelings if we didn't include them. So the 5 that I would recommend are Larry Altman, Vinnie Duran, Lisa Humphrey, Bill McGee, and Grace McGee.
I would second what you said as far as the quality of the people that came and their backgrounds. The only thing I would ask is a housekeeping issue. Are we operating under the new rules for this?
Two weeks for a council interview.
Well, I mean, the new rules are 2 people for every position. And then we pick.
There would be 2 recommendations from an existing committee for us, but since we interview
execute all of these folks.
This is a new committee.
I'm not sure how it would have worked. We would have had to have, you know, 10 people and recommend the 10 to ourselves and then pick 5. In the future, if there's a vacancy on this committee, then the committee would recommend 2 folks, us to select 1 to fill the vacancy. There wasn't an existing committee to make some recommendations.
And under the adoption of the new committee rules, it's in our Do I have a second? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Absolutely none.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. And Ms. Clerk, if you'll prepare those letters, I'll be happy to sign them.
Here to serve.
Okay, so item number 11, Isle of Lights. I think everybody's still here. Sonny discussed with the council and turned everybody what type of time frame and how much commitment he thought fell to afford to help the Isle of Lights. And I think everybody knows that their main electrician slash guru has retired. So I think this is beneficial for everybody on the Isle. Any discussion? Any discussion? Y'all have a slight opinion of each other? Hello?
Yes, there is discussion, but not about what's he's obsessed with this. Now you have to talk about it.
Yes. Item A. Request for assistance.
How does the council feel?
Well, I thought we already told something to just include it in the budget.
Okay, and bring it back to that. All right, item B, Christmas light display. Mr. Whitrow.
The island of light.
Who are you, sir?
The island of lights has come to us and offered $3,000 in lights for Cary Beach this year. And, you know, they'll pay for them out of their funds. All they ask that we do would be to install them, remove them, and store them for the year. So I think that's a pretty good deal for $3,000. And what I did, and I'd like to give this to you, the big problem, they need a decision by the end of January so they can get their, or end of February, so they can get their discount on the pricing. So what we did as a committee was went through the club, narrowed it down to 2 selections that we can afford with the $3,000 and let you make the choice on that.
The prices in the book, did that reflect the
Valley Buy? No, that's a retail.
So y'all reflected that in what you picked up?
Yeah. But you know, there's 2 pages to each.
Questions.
Yeah, there's one this way and one this way. Tim,
yeah.
Where are y'all talking about putting these up?
Okay,
we thought we'd like to put them down at the park. That's the reason we picked the nautical theme. And if that wouldn't work for some reason, that the park is not ready, then we could probably put them here at Town Hall.
The Oceanfront Park, not the Beach Park.
Yeah, Oceanfront Park.
Does the committee have a preference?
Yes. We prefer the one with the fish.
The one without the seahorses?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to say.
And what I did was I put that little man on there. That kind of gives you a human reference to scale. Because these are a scale. These are one's 14 foot tall, one's 9 foot tall. And the fish are 4 foot tall.
You start gesturing to draw that little man?
No, it'll all be in the bill.
The committee's made their recommendation.
Jim, did you talk to somebody about where we store these? Certainly we've started with a standard lights, unless the outlet lights have some of the presence.
Well, no, we don't care. That's part of our
deal. That's part of our deal is we have to store them. So I'm assuming that we store them to the members we track back. Well, it's at the same time. It's in so looking on the hill and more.
You see any trees why it would be a big problem to put these up?
That water is wow. One's 4'6" by 14 foot. That's pretty big.
That one they had to be suspended from.
Yeah,
the ceiling.
They come in, I'm praying.
Store, not people.
I fought through a snowstorm to come here.
I had the pleasure of being at the meeting, and they put a lot of effort. Good hours, if I've been hurt. They put in a good hour of studying these pictures and different books and different choices. There were a lot of choices, and I think that I'm certain that the presentation was good.
You put in a form of motion?
Yes, sir.
Do I have a second?
Also.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you, Kim. Stay there for the next item, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Item 12, Hall of Fame mural. I think everybody has probably heard that as a senior project, a young lady from one of the local high schools designed a mural for our hallway in the back. And according to her artist rendering, which is a sketch of how she would like it laid out, is done. So she has no longer left her obligation. Ken, would you like to let council know what you have been told?
Yeah. Where we are now is, first of all, I'd like for you all to look at the mural as it's drawn, make sure it's the way you want it before we paint it. Emily, she can't be here tonight, so she asked me to tell you that she has contacted some of the local art associations in Wilmington, and she met a lady at Cape Fear Community College who teaches art, and she does a mural painting. So she is going to pursue her working with us, possibly bringing students down to paint on it. Our classes, we paint in watercolor, not acrylic, so there is a big difference. And the one concern is if it's a mural of fame or prominent people, I don't see any in that mural. If there's any one in there, let us know who or how many, and maybe we can work them in as people on the pier or...
Yeah, but
if we're going to change it, if we want to do it, we can do it now rather than after it's painted.
And I remember it was one of these fade-in semi-portraits.
Yeah, it wasn't her job to do it.
No. But he wants to make sure we want to continue along those lines.
Oh,
and if everybody, not put anybody on the spot, except Chuck. Has everybody seen the mural? Are they satisfied, or would you give them some
Well, we're still working on it, but I mean, it's just something that before we paint it, we need to know
what all you want can everybody get that to Ken before the end?
Or just like Casey now, and then we file the list and just put it all on one list.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Ken, while you're still there, Ken is teaching watercolor classes with the in conjunction with the Parks and Recreation Committee, and when some of the watercolors are finished, we're going to put them in a rotating display when you come into town hall. So y'all look forward to that. Thanks. They're doing some beautiful stuff.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Oceanfront Park, are we going to give us a little insight to start off with?
Which one do you think would be appropriate? You go first?
Well, first, just if you don't mind, Jim, let us know where we're supposed to be in the day.
Sure.
And then we'll go.
The Park Committee met with our first meeting since the election. And we went back over all of the items that the Park Committee had worked on and that had been okayed by the council to make sure that everybody was up to date. And we discussed with them the work that had been done with the engineer that the town has working on the sewer line. And we had some recommendations from him that said, and he was the one that is going to do the stormwater project for us, which is what we had said, obviously, is going to be the first thing, project that we do. There is a requirement before he can start to have architectural drawings defined as to what the buildings are going to be. So we went back to the committee, and Dr. Round and the committee's recommendation back to council is money aside, based on whatever we get from them, that we go back to Withers and Ravenel, ask them to do the architecture work if we okay financial and contractual agreements, for them to do the architectural work and for engineering services to do the engineering work on the project. The mayor, Chuck, and myself, over a period of a couple of days, had contact with Withers and Ravenel personnel. They were to get us, by this council meeting, a proposal. We have not yet received that proposal, so we have nothing that we can act on. We have gotten a proposal from engineering services that I will get distributed to everybody on council so that you can look at that end of it. And where we are at right now is that if in fact we can fix an architectural firm, if in fact we can fix an engineering firm, we will work 100% towards getting the architectural drawings completed so that we can start digging dirt and put our stormwater system in. And once the stormwater system's in, or while the stormwater system is getting in, the people on council and the committee and finance department will be looking at the grants that we have gotten and determining where best that money can go to build the first stages of what's going to end up being our park.
If I could add, Jim, I'm just wondering, Jim, is that decision in terms of how you move forward going to be up to council or will it be up to the town? Is there going to be a sort of hearing on that? Obviously, you can't build everything with the small amount that we've gotten so far.
Yeah. What at least as far as the input of getting information is going to be, the people from Rivers and Ravenel or whoever it is we end up citing, they are going to be giving us price lists for you can have this build out of this material for this much per square foot. And that's going to be a determination. There'll be some recommendations that will go in front of the committee because what we have asked Rivers and Ravenel in their proposal is don't give us 30 different things, kinds of sightings that narrow it down to the best three or four items, both economically and promotionally,
raw material and everything that goes along with it. And the committee will make their recommendations to council on that. Council can obviously override or agree on anything, but there has been no determination that, yes, the first thing is going to be the pavilion, the second thing is going to be the restroom, third is top lot. That's going to depend on how much money we have and where it could be best spent.
Is the council planning on going beyond current monies that come in through grants and raise taxes to build, let's say, a pavilion that may be more than the actual grant allows after you do your infiltration systems?
There's been no discussion about spending any monies that we do not have on hand. We're still continuing to look for further funding.
With discussions that Rivers and Ravenel had with the park design committee, and what Jim said, he may have gone and elaborated just a bit. What they've actually got to have, Jim, is the non-pervious surface areas where they can design. We're nowhere near figuring out colors of paint or bricks or anything. But they've got to get the roof designs and what materials will be used for the walkways, because we do have an 18-month window on that stormwater grant, and if we don't get that in the ground, we're going to lose it. Of course, you know that. Chuck, would you like to elaborate on the grants?
But we just have 1 year, actually.
I think
18-month window.
Yeah,
we have a 1 year window for next month.
Yeah, for next month. We had an 18-month window. But
6 months.
6 months. We've got to move forward with this part of it, and with the current economic conditions in the country, we think that we can get a lot of bang for the bucks we have. And it may be done in phases, you know, that, but we want to try to get as much done with the money we've got before we lose any of it. Because, you know, getting any more grants would be like pulling teeth. Thanks, Jim. Any discussion, Jim?
Well, the other part of this is what I was suggesting is that because we're trying to use the grants that we have currently got in hand, and they are time limited, that I think it would be worthwhile to come up with a schedule. I mean, if we know that the grant expires in April, we know that we have to meet certain milestones before then if we need to. You'll put it out for bids, we're going to hold public hearings, we're going to have the architects come up with some stuff. So it would be really worthwhile. It's going to be challenging to get this done in a year. So it would be worthwhile for your committee team to come up with a project schedule. And then the other thing that I'd like us to do, or like to suggest that we do, is the experience that Chuck just had going back and trying to recreate what we did on the boardwalk project to see, you know, what we had left for the landscaping and all, that to avoid that problem, and that something that we should do for every project is have a project budget. So we would take the money available from the grants and see what that can be applied to and set up a project budget. And this gets to Jim Butter's point of, you know, where do we stand with this? How much can we just spend with what we got? And actually itemize those things in a project budget.
We've got to move on, we're going to lose what we got, so that's the main thing. We've got to get something going. Any further discussion? And Tim, I hope that with your expertise and timelines for construction projects, and John, I hope you'll be available from any of the meetings with this park committee from now on, because we'll look to you to, you know, right now ramrod on this thing, so. Get ready. Let's take a 10-minute break. I'll be back here at, in consideration of reserve fund budget amendment. Commissioner Keener, you have the floor.
It's about time. In January, we decided to continue with the landscaping. We wanted to sign the contract and finish that. When I looked at the numbers, we didn't have the money to do it. And for some reason, we were short. So if you look at this chart, what we submitted to Cameron for that project was $152,000. And what we should have
committed to them was 163,000. We were $10,781 short. That was due to some mistakes that were made in going back 3 years. By the way, John and Jennifer spent about 2 weeks trying to recreate this back for 3 years. And what happened, several invoices that did not get turned in to Cameron. And as a result, we ended up $10,700 short, which kind of hurt $20,000 landscape. And it was half of it was not there. So what we're trying to do is figure out what to do about that. And there's a couple of choices. But one of them is TDA did commit to us $43,532. And if we take that full amount from TDA, if we eliminate the signs for $49.95 and we'll put it in the next budget the next time, then all we need tonight is to approve $413.32 from reserve on the board to complete the budget. So the two things we're doing today, out of funds and we're eliminating the signs. That's how we can finish the process.
Questions? Yes.
Chuck, why are, what's, I understand that we're taking the signs because of the shortage of the funds, but isn't that part of the project that we'd like to get finished?
It actually was not part of the original camera.
Okay.
It just so happened when the turned in the final invoice, we put that on there hoping to get it. And we did get $49.95 on that as part of that camera. But really, we didn't get that, so we were $10,000 short.
But if we don't use it, if we don't buy signs, do we have to return that money to camera?
No. No.
Even though they gave it to us in anticipation of the signs?
The original numbers looked like we were 12. One of the mistakes was made was 12,000 over. The next mistake was made was 21,000 under. When I found out about the 12,000 over, I went to the camera and said, look, I'm sorry about that, but we asked you for too much money. And of course, back when we finally got all the numbers dug up and found out, we actually were 11,000 short. It certainly would be a race to that problem. But as far as the signs are concerned, it's going to cost $16,000, $10,000 to $15,000 per sign. So it's just like a gimme that he was trying to put into his contract for it. And so since we're going to have to go out and come up with whatever the signs are going to be, that, I think that's just a complete decision. Otherwise, you can take $5,000 out of the reserve fund and hold that for signs.
Well, it's not
going to
be enough.
No, I'm just. We're up 4.5% on our TDA revenues this year, which I hope so. We stay so we should be, our funding from TDA should be as much or a little more than I can. This may be something we need to revisit later on, like just Commissioner Keener's suggestion. Do I have a motion to take 400 and what was it, Chuck?
413.32.
413.32 out of reserve fund so we can fully fund this project.
I'll make that one.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Favor signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays. Okay, thank you. And you'll get with Jennifer and I'll get all of it. Item number two on our new business. Discussion and consideration of amending or repealing the following section of the Cure Beach Town Ordinances. Section 2-56, Advisory Committee, Special Committees. Mr. Fuller, AMP.
In the course of going through all of these committee changes and changes in the policy and everything, discussing this with different people, including Chris A. from the Council of Government, we found this section that I don't know that it's ever been used before.
It's not clear exactly how it would be used. And since the committees are all appointed by the council, and we have to come to council for seeking the establishment, and budgeting for anything that they did, it was just decided that it was clear things that would just eliminate that section from the ordinance. And that's my recommendation.
You're making a recommendation?
I make a motion that we delete section 2-57.
Do I have it?
Discussion.
I'm against it. I see no reason. Obviously, it was a reason it was put in there. I would agree with you, as far as I know, in my past, it hasn't been utilized. But it's another tool for planning and zoning, which is our most important committee that we have as far as what's going to happen in the town. And I think we should give them all the tools that they need to, in order to do their job, whether they have used them up till now or not.
Further discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
4-1 against. Item number 3, we have a D. KMB, is that? Okay. Item number 3, Planning and Zoning Commission request for direction regarding the bearing of the power lines. We've received, this is this. Oh, Mark. We received some correspondence from Marlowe and Company today. They are a lobbying company out of Washington, D.C. And I talked to, where's that price? They said that they're full model because the proposed to provide services right above for a minimal fee of $24,000 to pursue grants for burying power lines. I called Congressman McIntyre's office today, and he would like to get any requests from the town into his office by the 26th of this month. I was a little taken aback by Tony, his office grant person, when he asked me that if I was requesting special earmarks from the Congress materials. So I was on the floor for discussion. I think everybody here agrees that I would love to see the power lines vary, but I would, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I would rather pursue the grants to Chuck or some other volunteers rather than spend $24,000 on all that.
I'll go for 12.
Dave.
Mr. Mayor, the Marlowe proposal is not to pursue grants. It is, we propose pursuing federal funding for your utility.
Yeah.
Federal funding meaning earmarks. And other priorities during the next year, taking full advantage of every legislative and grant opportunity available to the town. They're giving us, it says, well, we typically charge a fee of up to $65,000 for full comprehensive representation. We understand that the number of issues that QEDG is pursuing would be limited to one or two requests. So that's why they're saying a minimal fee of $24,000.
I was a little bit taken back when I was point blank told that, and it may have been a discussion tomorrow now, so that this would be used for earmarks in the new budget for the United States. So, anyway.
We never had any discussion about using Marlowe. I was tickled with the rest of you are about the price.
I
bottom of the pile, do I?
I think, Jim, you were sitting on council. I think, Kim, you were on council with Curry Beach allocated $3,000 to Marlowe. I think
$3,000 to help pursue some beach renourishment and problem had solved itself before our check actually got to them. So I'm a little apprehensive. Yes, Mr. Miller.
The grants and everything, okay, for this, we have a engineering firm that we use that gets, that actually applied for and got us the grant for the stormwater. I don't know whether that same engineer would be qualified or able to apply for that grant. He did the last one in its entirety, as I understand it, and he even had enough money in the grant to pay some of his fees.
Well, I think, and Jim, you're still here. Jim can attest to the fact that the engineering firm, particularly in this last grant cycle, we just had to be at the right place at the right time to have a shovel-ready pre-engineered project. And that the additional monies they got, you know, were interest-free, so that was really a windfall for the town. Is that right, Jim? That's what you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, you were here.
I don't know, they're talking apples and oranges.
Yeah, but I'm talking about having that same engineering firm look at this underground power thing and see whether it's in his realm of expertise and would he be interested in possibly doing something about it.
I think we could ask him to see if anything in this realm is available. But when I called the McIntyre's office, they did not know of a specific grant for this. But you know, I think that's a great idea. If y'all would like to, the engineer, if we could find out what engineer services in this particular would maybe a charge to actually, you know, deal with this.
Well, I think we should weigh one against the other at least.
In our in kind with the discussions with Progress Energy, the in kind part of the grant for the town still going to be a substantial amount of money. Planning and zoning in this month's calls for the attorney that the town provides them received a bill from their attorney for $1,300 for this month's work. So we're all going to have to kind of, you know, tighten up on some of these overhead expenses. But I was a little taken aback by that bill when I signed the check for it, too. But anyway,
councils.
So what, are we going to table this issue temporarily until we check with the engineer?
I think we need to respond to P&D's request for guidance. And I think what I'm hearing is that we don't want to pursue anything with Marlowe. What I would like to suggest is that we ask P&Z to come back to us with, they've had a presentation from Progress Energy, and this has been on the P&Z agenda for several months. I know there were several months of nothing happening. We were just waiting on Michelle to get something. But you had the presentation from Progress Energy. What I would like to suggest is that we ask P&Z to come up with just an outline of how they would pursue this, what their plan of action would be, that we're not interested in hiring a lobbyist. But at the same time, I think it's at least worth asking or sending a letter to Congressman, to Representative McIntyre and to Senators Burr and Hagan, saying that if there are federal funds available for this type of project as part of the stimulus package or whatever, that the town of Cary Beach would be interested in participating, and please let us know what we can do, just on the outside chance that there is some money out there that could be used for this. So the motion would be to ask P&D to come back to us with some kind of an outline of how they would seek to pursue this, not including Marlowe, and that we'd ask that we send a letter out over the mayor's signature to our representatives in Washington telling them that if there is funds available, they should be interested.
Well, I think, you know, how this Marlowe thing came about is there was some email correspondence from somewhere that
there were supposed to be some grants available for this type of thing. Marlo actually, you know, the email that I remember, Casey, correctly from home, actually said that, you know, there was a grant out there for this, but then when we get the correspondence from them, and after talking to McIntyre's office, and McIntyre's office made it very plain that we would have to come to them with which grants or and or earmarks we would like them to pursue. That they wanted us to do the work and then bring it to them. So I think it's worth pursuing, but right at, you know, at this stage in the game, I certainly don't see spending the money tomorrow in the country. So your motion, do I have a second to Tim's motion?
I second.
Casey, you want to read it back?
I'm actually going to go back and listen to the tape. But it's basically for PNZ to come up with an outline of how they would like to pursue this. Let them know that we are not interested in hiring a lobbyist and to come back with their recommendations. To send a letter to McIntyre and Hagen stating that we are interested in... Inver. Stating that we are interested in pursuing this, and if they know of any funding that might be available, please let us know.
And you have a second question. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And this is a little clarification to P&Z. You know, that's the direction we can pursue. Item number four, discussion and consideration of scheduling an administrative workshop. Commissioner Dugan.
Well, Larry and I were talking. We did
that. Remember some buzz on that side. Item number five, discussion. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. Item number five, discussion and consideration of the town hall dress code.
John, you late?
Commissioner Keenan.
The way this came about was that Mayor Lambert started this off. When he moved into the town hall, he rearranged his office. He removed bookcases, file cabinets, whiteboards, chairs, moved the desk, put a oval rug in front of the desk, put a flag in front of the desk, got a new couch, wingback chairs, indirect lighting with a spotlight, on a sign behind his desk about the size of this that says Grand Food Park. It really looks nice, and it's something you all can be proud of. So then, and then it's all been painted, and y'all have been out through there, it's interior has been painted, the holes in the wall, the frustrated citizens put there have been removed. The bloody footprints have been painted over. It looks really good down here. And then the staff jumped on that and said, gee, that's looking so good. They started moving their furniture and moving their bookcases, and most of them have cleaned up their office pretty well. There's one office that has been cleaned up yet, but they keep that door locked. And so anyway, then what happened, all this was going on, so people said, well, hey, that's me, dress up what's left, just the people that's here. So we had a staff meeting, I mentioned the dress code, and the next day, they came in, there were no pajamas, there were no fitness gym clothes, there were no Levi's or sneakers or sweatshirts with Budweiser across it. They just immediately jumped on it, and they looked great. And I had to give the staff a lot of credit for what they've done in their offices, what they've done for themselves. So the question tonight is to adopt an official dress code. And the question is, do we make it very tight or do we make it beachy? The real question is, all the other beaches along the Bulkhead have no dress code. Another beach town has dress for fashion, one little paragraph. The Carolina Beach has a very elaborate one, but they allow shorts, they allow capris, they allow sneakers. So the question is, as you look in your dress code under women, there is capri-style dress pants and dress skirts and shorts no higher than 5 inches above the knee. These are two things that are put in there by staff that asked me to add those that are in the Carolina Beach. And I think that's the question. All the rest of them, everything else in here is pretty tight. There's no problem with it. The real question is, how loose do you want to go as far as the fact that goes for a beach tent?
The problem is just about midriff length comp.
That's another.
Check.
unacceptable environment. I'm going to read it all. It's an unacceptable environment.
Would you like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to accept this dress code, or let's discuss first. No, we've got to discuss what you're adding to it. Why don't we be discussed what we're adding to it?
Freestyle dress pants.
We're discussing the whole thing, or just the one?
Do I get any questions about the rest of that?
Well, don't we have to have a motion first?
Well, that's what it just happened, but he didn't want to do it.
Okay. All right. I make a motion that we set about this dress code without the free pants and dress shirts and shit.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
You want to discuss that?
Okay, discuss.
Couple things. First off, I think that what you said, well, first of all, there's definitely a difference between appropriate and inappropriate attire. I feel that the department heads or supervisors or whoever the person is should be the one who, with our direction, follows up on that. And I would hate to get this specific. As an example, you've got here for, and you and I, this is the first time I've seen it in print, but you and I have talked about it a number of times. And what you've got here for the men is that the only type of shoes they can wear is a loafer.
Well, John's case, he wears
another thing that jumped out at me, again, like I'm saying, this is the first time that I read it was when I was able to pick this up after I got back from vacation. I definitely don't know anything about clothes. Is Docker a brand name or is it a style?
It's a brand name.
If we put a brand name in, we're saying that people can only wear Dockers.
You can change it to Docker Shops.
Right. What is Docker style? Being a
wait a second. Under enforcement, it says department heads and supervisors are responsible for monitoring enforcement. So that's not only the town administration, that's the whole town.
No, it's not.
But that's what the enforcement says.
Yes. I'm arguing for you. Go ahead and answer some questions.
I'm still looking for Bob.
What is that?
Is this strictly for town hall? But according to enforcement, it includes department heads and supervisors are responsible for monitoring and enforcing this policy.
I would like for it to be administration, which would be anything by administration, but I think in discussion, we thought I'll leave it up to the department heads whether they want to enforce it or not outside of town hall.
It's just previous administration.
That's why I have to look at that one.
Y'all didn't want to hear it.
You didn't want to hear it.
I'm saying that you can't have Hooters outfit, okay?
So based on our conversations, this is the people that are in finance and the town clerk.
Now home.
But you're saying there is an opening for a department.
Everybody doesn't
know this, John.
Well, John coming. Isn't he a work closer?
John's in town hall.
Yeah, but
he's also
got his job outside, down in work clothes.
Yeah, just shut down.
Yeah, along the police department, you know, I mean, I think you're going to get him from that because
okay, have their job. But it's not town hall. It's finance and town hall.
Yeah, he's down hall, except John.
Or
or the other departments, right?
I'm looking forward to this. I'm trying to hear about these.
Yes, the rundown of the list is unacceptable, Chuck.
I'm kind of like Jim. I don't know that we need to adopt a dress code per se. I mean, that is a suggested dress code. It would certainly, I would think, be sufficient. But if we see a bunch of people abusing it, then we could enact an ordinance, because that's what this is doing, right?
Well, and go even further, that we may not, we control the parking meters and or supervisors. If there's something going on here that we don't think that their boss is taking care of, we take it up with their boss.
But if they're telling them what to wear. But if they're in the absence of a code, the dress code in the personnel policy, what can their boss say to them?
If they come
home and change
the I understand, but you know, in the past we've always tried to have something in our personnel policy that gave the employees advance notice of the expectation, as opposed to just coming in and saying, I don't like what you're wearing, go home and change. So
are
you comfortable with the supervisors just being able to, in the absence of any kind of a code or policy, telling somebody to go home and change? That's the way that it's worked. So now,
I'm a little confused now. Is this something we're going to adopt as an ordinance, or is this going on our personnel code? It's called a personnel code. Very good.
I have to defer to the town attorney as far as enforcement. What kind of problem, if any, are we getting ourselves in if we have specialized enforcement for a specific portion of the workforce and not for others?
So when I look at Tree Beach, I'm just doing this off the top of my head. I've been asked,
how are we at all?
The public works, they have uniforms. Police department has uniforms. John has his own uniform. But all you're talking about is town hall?
And town hall is where the general public and citizens is their first contact with town employees. Chuck and I had some discussions when I walked into the front of town hall, and Doug was wearing some kind of orange sneakers and a jersey with numbers on it, which I thought was definitely inappropriate for the first person you see when you come in town hall.
Or somebody come up and drop baby shoes and shorts to wait on you, because they all have interfaces with the citizens, so I'm questioning them.
So I think you're proper to do that. That to me is inappropriate. It's time for,
but it's nothing that right now they can do. Nobody can say anything. So there's nothing that Senator, they can't do that.
Currently, there's no.
In fact, Carolina Beach said you can do it. So we have to determine that.
Yes.
As far as these rules are concerned, by the way, there's an enforcement that's got to come to Carolina Beach.
Come up here and tell me so we can hear you.
If you want to have some kind of a uniform code, then the town should buy the employees that work in town hall.
Gotta sit down, Tony.
That's what they want. I mean, I come in here a lot of times, and to be honest with you, everyone looks pretty good. I mean, it's pretty hard to enforce that, where you're going to have, maybe some people cannot afford a certain style shirt or something, and you're putting them maybe on the spot where they can't afford it. And I don't think it's right. I mean, to do that. That's just my opinion.
Well, you can buy a button-down shirt that costs $300, or you can buy one that costs $12, Tony. That's it. Just get a button-down collar.
That's all I have to say.
Anybody else in the audience have something to say? If people come in,
go at most corporations. Business casual.
That's what I said. This is business casual.
Corporate casual is another term you can. Corporate casual?
Well, actually, there's business attire, business casual attire, and casual. And we're doing casual on Fridays. What I try to do is do casual, business casual for the rest of the week. But it's difficult. There's a fine line there as to what's business casual and what's casual. It's really
a fine line. Yeah, but you know, a t-shirt is not.
Yeah.
That's appropriate.
You're
advertising.
That's all this does.
I love that.
Yes, that's all this does. That's exactly what this does.
I think you're going to get in trouble if you try to get too specific.
I got a good question.
You might want to ask the town hall employees to make their own.
Well, Chuck actually, he and I have kind of, I don't take any offense to this, he and I have been working together on this, and I actually sent out a query to a lot of beach towns along North Carolina's coast, and really what we found is most people didn't have a policy, but they kind of, in a way, had, I guess you could say, a set of standards that they adhere by. The only thing that, you know, I think he's really questioning, which, you know, he and I have kind of, we've thrown this idea back and forth, is most beach towns did allow some sort of a capri style pant. Most of them, if you're going to allow skirts without pantyhose, you're going to allow some sort of, for beach towns, a short, because not everybody at the beach loves to wear skirts. That would be me. And then the other issue was a type of sandal that is that goes between your toes, but not necessarily a foamy beach flip-flop, you know, where you can have a nice pair, you can buy it. Coals or whatever that are not considered a beach sandal. And so that was an issue, but really what we found was beach communities tended to be a little bit more lax than, let's say, you know, Raleigh did. And, you know, I got a couple of responses back from big cities going, what are y'all thinking? But every other beach community responded back saying, we're a beach community, we're a little bit different. So, you know, I think that, you know, that's why Chuck is asking council what they feel is acceptable, because these are two items which are, you know, the shorts of an appropriate length. It would be a business style short and a capri style pant and then a dressy sandal, not a foam plastic beach style flip flop. So those are really the items that he and I found that we wanted to get addressed by council.
Under unacceptable attire for women.
Yes.
You've got t-shirts with logos. Does that apply to a t-shirt with a Town of Cary Beach logo?
I don't think, yeah, t-shirts. We're talking about administration.
Well,
John's shirts have collars. Notice I've seen him wear.
Well, are we talking about logos? What about John has a lot of shots at this? Shirts that are golf shirts and have logos on them. Is that appropriate?
That's inappropriate.
And we do have t-shirts with logos on them. And we also have long sleeve shirts with logos on them.
Which are the These are perfect examples. In my farmer's house, you know, use long sleeve Cary Beach. Okay. Especially the size of those people that would start size of one that can be tender. If it's a brand name, not a mug of a brand name like
Dockers or Golf
Community.
All right, if you're asking about the two items, I'm fine with decent shorts and decent size sandal or whatever you want to call it.
They're not. They would be a dress
thing. No.
I don't even know what y'all are talking about.
I'm kind of like in the same position as Tim. What is it we're talking about? Sure.
Can they wear shorts or not in town hall?
Well, can they wear shorts or can they wear one of those skirts that have...
Oh, nobody wears those.
Do they not wear those anymore?
know that.
I guess I just say
it. If you do a corporate casual or business casual, shorts are out.
They're out.
It's plain and simple.
It does limit those, because not everybody likes to wear skirts, but you allow skirts. And so it would be a dress skirt or a dress short, but it would still be a dress.
My shorts are out. I mean, all right, we're at that point.
Does
Dean wear shorts?
I want to know.
Does
Dean wear shorts? That is a good argument against shorts.
Indoors. Indoors.
Does everybody understand that when Lori speaks out an accent?
Especially with all the work that's been done, I'm in total agreement with that. I would ask a question for people who want to put up decorations. What does that leave the person? I mean, I would like to see if somebody comes in and said, I'd like to do this. They said, no, you can't do that. I'd like to be able to offer them, but you can't do this. Is there something, anything that can go on the wall that is acceptable to those committees?
I don't know. We just don't want the paint to be
damaged. Oh, no,
holes, you know, when you put nails in it or tacks, or you don't want that.
In the discussion at the community center community, Jim, what they talked about is as opposed to, like, if you're putting streamers or bunting up, instead of tacking them to the wall or taping them to the mirror, that you actually tie them off to the corner of the mirrors or a light fixture or something like that. And we can certainly ask the committee to come up with some suggestions.
Because I don't know what's out there as far as...
The problem that we've run into in the past is that people have taped things to the mirrors and the adhesive on the tape has stuck and it's ruined the mirrors. And now with all the painting and refinishing...
We have a little problem with the ballet, with the little kids that put stickers on things at the wall, so...
Yeah, that's been addressed, so that should not happen again.
And maybe we'll just put these cutbooks on or
whatever.
That's
what they need.
That's just real idea.
Yeah, thanks.
So
liaison, do you like my
motion? I'd like to make a motion that we approve the Community Center Committee's recommended amendments to their general policy provisions.
I second it.
Any discussion? Other than the fact that the corner hooks, which we can discuss it, all in favor, signal by saying aye. Opposed? Thank you. Mr. Attorney?
Sir.
You're up.
I propose an ordinance, section 17-121C, which is entitled Properties in Foreclosure. And the reason I'm coming up with this ordinance is poor Pat Fortier has been pulling the hair out of her head for years. When properties go into foreclosure, the reason they go into foreclosure is because people don't have money to pay for their mortgage. And if they don't have money to pay for their mortgage, they don't have more money to pay for their bills. As a result, the garbage fees and water fees, stormwater fees, sewer, recycling, and all that bill continues to mount up. And Pat carries it on the books until such time as the property is sold in foreclosure. Then you've got all of this amount of money that's sitting there on the books, ranging anywhere from $300 to $800-$900 that's never going to be collected, and it just makes our balance look terrible. So I have proposed this ordinance, which Pat would like to see passed. It says any property owner who is in arrears from the payment of water, sewer, recycle fees, stormwater fees, and residential garbage fees, and whose property has gone into foreclosure proceedings by notifying the town or by publication in the newspaper with general circulation, the water shall be turned off and the charges above shall cease to accumulate until the property is transferred to a new owner at foreclosure sale. And I submitted this for your consideration.
Attorney, it was my understanding with discussions with you that because of statutes of foreclosure proceedings that this money is not obligated to the new owners.
Absolutely not. By state law, when a new owner buys that property, it's a new contract with the town for the services.
Can we get the money from the person that's foreclosing on it when that?
Yeah, you can get a judgment, so that's all you're going to have. You're going to spend more money getting the judgment.
So you say if
the property has gone into proceedings, does that mean that people could still be there and be shutting the water off on?
There's nobody living there that's gone into foreclosure. If they're in foreclosure and they're there, you notify them that they're in arrears and you cut their water off, period. Which means then they can't live there.
Yes, Tim. Some of the communities, the HOAs, have addressed this issue maybe a little bit differently, and the waiting for foreclosure is too late because you can't place a lien against a foreclosure. So what a lot of the HOAs are doing are they're putting a lien on properties up front so that when a foreclosure takes place, then when it does transfer title to title, you are able to collect your money back. And it's worked fairly well. I can see watching how that's what I've been doing, and it's worked fairly well for us.
But the problem is, we would have to go and get a judgment. Which means there would be a lot of suit filed. You know, you can do that, but that's doing it the hard way, and the cost you're going to, the money you're going to recoup is going to probably not be worth the effort that it takes to collect it.
Well, just sort of following up on Jim's question, how long do we wait? How far in arrears do we let somebody get before?
Well, this is, you have to talk to Pat about that. According to our ordinances, 60 days it should be cut off, period. But it's not done. Why, I don't know, but it isn't done. And these things keep mounting up. If in fact I hate to say that because it makes it look like people aren't doing their job, but I mean that's the point is, in the city of Wilmington, I can tell you that if you're 60 days in arrears, you don't have any service. I can tell you that right now. It's cut off. It's done. And this is something that we need to be a little more strict. But you see, you've got people here in this town, and it's been done since the beginning of the municipality. There's some people that don't have all the money at one time. That collects from some people 6 months at a time, 4 months at a time. Some of them have to do it a little bit in increments. So, I mean, she just knows who they are.
Well, I guess this is something I understand the need for this ordinance, but there's a policy issue and a procedure that we need to address. I'll talk to Pat about that. But,
okay.
I mean, because I understand, and I know we've had informal arrangements and we've worked with people in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
If, like Jim says, if we wait until it goes into foreclosure, we're essentially caught in the cost of all those utilities to the rest of the taxpayers, which is...
Well, as you recall, and I can just bring this up, I had spoke with each one of you individually before the election and after the election that we needed to get together and figure out some sort of policy for this thing, because it's a nightmare on the books. It is a nightmare.
Well, I will get with Pat, and then maybe the three of us, if it's all right with the rest of y'all, the three of us can sit down and try and look at this and sort of weave our way between, you know, being considerate of our residents, being mindful of the statutes and the case law around, and also, you know, protecting the
family. Yeah, it's very possible we could come up with a number of payment plans.
Well, see, I've limited this purely foreclosure. Because now people who are not in foreclosure, that's a different ballgame altogether. This is just foreclosure.
Of the total, based on your conversations with Pat, of the total X number of dollars that's out there that we have, that we should have had but don't have, how large a portion is the foreclosure portion? Is it really relatively insignificant portion of the total? Or,
like I said, you know, they range anywhere from 300 to 800 or 900. But it's something that needs to be addressed because it's costly.
Do I have a motion?
I make
discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
We still need to meet with
them. Yes, sir. But unless anybody has an objection, I don't think that requires council action.
No, it doesn't.
But what we'd like to do is come back to y'all next month with some idea of where we are on this and how significant the problem is, and if we have some creative ideas on how to address it. But that's the reason.
Anything else to come before the council? Got a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
You're out of here.